Absolutely, we do live to worship him. Good morning once again. Are you ready for God's word today? Yes. Come on, you got to act like you're hungry if you want to get fed. Are you ready for God's word today? Yes. Yeah. Father, we thank you again for your awesome presence. We thank you again for these awesome graduates, not only that are present with us, Father, but others throughout, you know, the South Florida region, the country, and this world that have persevered to accomplish, you know, this goal. Graduating from college, high school, vocational, other training programs. Thank you now just for the opportunity to dig into your word. May our hearts be wide open. May we have hearing ears. I trust you for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit. Words that are live, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. That my speech, preaching, and teaching would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. We love you with all of our heart. And give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead and give someone a fake high five right there around you at home or right here. Just don't touch them. Say, you know how we're doing it still. Praise God. Amen. These days are passing in Jesus' name. Now, on Recognition Sunday, you know, my aim and really kind of my charge, you know, from really the Spirit of God is to certainly charge our graduates. So we want to make sure that you're leaning in and listening closely. But not only our graduates, but everyone that is present. Today, really want to just deal with something here, you know, briefly, you know, called, you know, live fully. All of us should live a full life. God has called you to live a full life. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was so that you could live a full life for him. So living fully is what God expects from all of us. And certainly as a graduate, you want to have that kind of heart, that I want to now take this as a stepping stone to live fully. Now, when we start talking about living fully, we're not just talking about living according to our own desires and ambitions and wishes and dreams, but we're talking about living fully for the one who created us, living fully for the one who designed us, living fully for the one who put breath on the inside of us. That's the living fully that we're talking about. So as we talk about this, we're talking about making our lives an instrument of worship. Well, all elements of life, be it our career, be it our education, be it our family, be it our relationships, whatever the factors, all of these things are done from a relationship that is fully devoted in God. And watch this, and everything that is performed from this is an act of worship to God. So we do everything from a relationship, you know, with God, and we do everything as an act of worship to God. But that's bringing everything into harmony. Now, this is a challenge and has been a challenge, you know, for believers in Christ for a number of centuries, of being able to harmonize and bring everything together. Unfortunately, a lot of times things wind up becoming disjointed. And if I can just, you know, just kind of be plain and blunt, you know, right up front, there winds up being areas in our lives where God's not welcome. Wind up being areas in our lives where the light of Christ doesn't shine like it does maybe in another. Where we've kind of dimmed it in that arena. And that's not what Almighty God's called us into. And that's not living fully. I want to give you 3 points today. The first one is this. A full life requires full commitment. The only way to have a full life in Christ requires full commitment from you and I. Numbers chapter 32, love this as it talks about Caleb, talks about Joshua as well. It says, of all those I rescued from Egypt, God is talking, no one who is 20 years old or older will ever see the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For they have not obeyed me, watch this, wholeheartedly. The only exceptions are Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why? For they have wholeheartedly followed the Lord. A full life requires a full commitment. Now, when you talk about following God from a whole heart perspective, let me give you these definitions from Merriam-Webster's dictionary about whole. Whole is constituting an undivided unit. Come on now, if we're going to follow now Almighty God, we have to be undivided, Come on, the whole of us, the complete of us, comes unto him. Another definition that it gives is constituting the entirety of a person's nature or development. The entirety. So everything about us now is now placed into the direction of the one who we are in relationship with. There's nothing that is off limits to God. That's a good confession to make. Say it with me. Say, there's nothing that's off limits to my God. Absolutely, praise God. So a full life, it requires full commitment. Second point is this: harmonize your life in Christ. You have to harmonize this. You cannot allow it to be disjointed. Harmonize your life. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34. He says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Jesus set an example for us of how to harmonize his life all around now what his Father desired. Everything is harmonized around that. When you talk about the word harmony, that's a musical term, you know, generally speaking. You know, when our praise team, you know, gets up and other singers, you know, get up, you'll hear the harmony. But now the harmony is really something that's always blended off of the melody. You got to have the melody of the song that's there. And then once you have the melody that's there, watch this. Now we can add on the tenor. We can add on the alto. We can bring in the soprano so that it all blends with the melody. Well, you got to catch God's melody for your life. You can't create your own. And you can't just simply try to sing, you know, your own particular song. You got to find what's God's song for you. You got to find what is his melody. And then you work, watch this, to harmonize everything in your life. Your marriage and family. Your finances. Your relationships outside of family. Your businesses. Your investments. Your job, your career, it all now becomes something that's supposed to harmonize with the melody. Now you got to ask yourself the question, do you have some things right now that are off note? Because there's a lot of times, and you can hear, we have it happen, it happens with every singer. You can hear sometimes when the singers get off note. They kind of slipped off note a little bit. Yeah, I mean, and all of a sudden, watch this, everything that was sounding sweet and smooth is just kind of like, ooh. Because that one got off note. Do an inventory of your life today. Is there something off note? Are the way that I conduct relationships with the opposite sex still off note? You got to evaluate. See, if we're going to live fully, we got to bring it all into harmony. Bring it all into harmony. Jesus also said this in John chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do mine own will. Come on now. This is the heart of harmonizing right here. So God has a melody. He says, so I'm here just simply to connect with that melody. I'm here to harmonize with that. I'm not here to create my own song. I'm not here to create my own melody. I'm here to harmonize with what my Father has going on. I got news for you. Your Father's got something going on right now. Learn his song. But here's the third point, and here's where I want to spend most of the time. And that is this. A full life requires the fortitude to overcome challenges. Listen, if you're going to proceed, come on, watch this, after graduation, if you're going to now take that as a stepping stone to something greater and deeper with Almighty God, I'm talking to my layman's graduates now, you have to understand how to have the fortitude to overcome the challenges that's going to come against you to pull you back, to shrink you back, to make you think it's not necessary, it's not needed, I don't have to do that, that's not comfortable, you know, no, I don't want that. You got to learn how to overcome that, but that's a fortitude that has to be established on the inside. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you are breathing, you're going to deal with challenges. COVID-19 or not, you can stay at home and you still going to have challenges. So you have to learn how to develop God's fortitude to overcome the challenges that will show up in your life. Here we see in 1 Peter chapter 5. Even before I read that, let me say this. God doesn't expect for you to sit around and just tolerate the challenges, tolerate the trials, tolerate the pressure. There's nothing holy and there's nothing pious about that, about that whole approach. And I know it's advocated in many religious circles, but that's not God's will for you. God's will is not for you just to simply sit back and just take it. That's not why the blood of Jesus was shed for you. Not for you to take it, because he took it. So you don't have to sit back and just take it. So never have the mindset of, well, you know, it just, maybe this is just the will of God for me. No. Don't guess about God's will. Look into his word and find out what it is. And you'll find out it's just like what we were singing earlier. Victory belongs to Jesus. And because it belongs to him, it belongs to you and I when we're connected to Jesus. That's his will for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 5 says this. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation through your faith, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, trials, tribulations, persecution, pressure, challenges, it comes to everyone. Everyone. And here what Peter begins to describe, he says, watch this, your faith winds up being on trial. He says, but and depending upon how you respond is going to determine and help us to see whether it's genuine or not. Faith is on trial. And then here's the kicker. If you have not learned this, learn it right now. The most intense pressure will come as you endeavor to harmonize your life and live your life full under the rule of Christ. The most intense pressure is going to come. So a lot of people wind up, you know, bailing out with Christ because the pressure gets too intense. And you'll hear people say, I had it easier, you know, before. Well, there's a reason for that. See, the most intense pressure comes as you make a transition to say, you know what, I'm going to live fully for Christ. I'm going to harmonize my life for Christ. Here comes the greatest pressure. But watch this. It's the greatest pressure, but on the other end of it is also the greatest reward. See, everybody wants the great rewards. Come on now, you got to be able to deal with something. Mark chapter 4, verse 16 through 17 really bears this out for us. Jesus was explaining about the parable of the sower, and he begins to explain, you know, one of the elements of the seed that's being sown. And he says in verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? You heard something, it was good, and you was like, ooh, amen, praise the Lord. Receive it with joy. Nothing wrong with that. So I'm not belittling that. Nothing wrong with that. But then notice the next part. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Now watch this. You don't raise your hand. I'll raise my own. Have you received something? Be like, oh, praise God. That's good. And then, you know, a challenge came. Watch this. That tested what you said was good, and you let go what was good. That's good, but, you know, I got to, this is reality. I got to deal with this now. And what it exposed in me was my roots weren't deep enough in that area. I need to spend more time to develop some deeper roots so that I could last. Can you last? You have to ask yourself the question, can I last? And if I have not been lasting, it's not God. I need to slow down now. I need to start building some deeper roots. It's good to receive it with joy, but if you're receiving it with joy and you have no roots, Jesus made it clear. He says, you're not going to last. And then he says this. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. You know, King James Version says that, you know, the affliction and persecution comes for the word's sake. See, the moment you grab hold of God's word, just like right now, your mind, your heart is leaning in like, yeah, I need to harmonize everything. I see some things that hasn't really been harmonizing with God. The moment you make that decision to grab hold of God's word on matter, here comes pressure. Here comes affliction, persecution, trials. It's coming, and it's not coming because, you know, you're a bad person or a good person. It's coming for the word's sake. Truth be told, the enemy is flat out terrified that you'll get connected with that word just like Jesus did. And you'll have the same results like Jesus. Like, so I got to stop you from connecting with that word. Don't you marry that word. Let it go. Divorce it. The pressure comes. So you're going to live a full life. You got to be able to overcome the pressure that comes. But you don't overcome it just because you want to. You don't overcome it just because you're sincere. That's not how you overcome. You know, I've shared this for years. A lot of times people mistaken faith for really wanting something. Like, I really want it. I really want my marriage and your family to be, you know, great. I really want, you know, my body to be, you know, walking in health. I really want my finances to be, you know, better. And because I really want it, you know, I have faith in God. No, you don't. That's not faith in God. I mean, that's good. It's a good starting place. It's a good place of hope. That's not, watch this, what's going to be able to have you deemed as victorious as your faith is on trial. You got to have more than just hope. You got to have more than just sincerity. It's got to run deeper than that. Come on, someone say deeper. So for you and I, we got to make sure that we're doing what Paul encouraged in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Come on, say it with me. Fight the good fight of faith. Come on, one more time. Fight the good fight of faith. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good fight. Now, number one, let's understand something. It's a good fight, not with our attitude per se, not with our hands. It's a good fight of faith. Okay, it's a good fight of faith. Now, understand this. It's a good fight. I'll just spoil it for you. It's a good fight because at the end of the day, when you do it in faith, you win. The only good fight you can ever be a part of is one that you win. You know, I happened to just, you know, I don't even know how, you know, I came across it. But yesterday I was, you know, scrolling through it, and I saw these MMA fight that was going on. And there was this one, you know, young guy. It was his debut. You know, he's coming. You know, it's going to be his debut. And he's fighting this other guy, I think, who was like, you know, been around, had about 10 fights or so for a pretty good fighter, et cetera, et cetera. The fight gets started. And in 7 seconds, he knocks the guy out. 7 seconds. Ding. Guy's on the floor. 7 seconds. Fight is over. Now, let me ask you this question. Who was that a good fight for? It definitely wasn't a good fight for the one who got knocked out. See, the only good fight that you ever have is the one that you win. And that's why Paul, by the Spirit of God, was making it clear. Listen, when you fight by faith, it's a good fight because you will always win. As a matter of fact, let me say it properly. You have already won. Yes, amen. So let me give you these things to once again meditate on where faith is concerned. You cannot let these things slip. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 makes it clear to us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Let's see if we can explain that and break that down further. Let me give you this. Faith is the material evidence. It's the proof of ownership of those things you can't see. Faith is, watch this, listen. Faith becomes your material evidence the proof of ownership of things you can't see. It's really like if I gave you a gift card to Olive Garden for $100. Now, watch this. You don't have anything from Olive Garden right now. But that gift card says, I own $100 worth of meals at Olive Garden right now. Now, I'm just choosing not to go get them yet, but I own $100 worth of meals at Olive Garden right now. See, this is what faith is. It's the material evidence, the proof of ownership of those things. You can't see it. You don't see the food yet, but you know you got it. And the moment you're ready to act on it, you can then go access it. Watch this, because it's already paid for. Oh, boy. Here, watch this. Never forget this. Faith is the currency needed to do business in the kingdom of God. It's the currency. It's the currency. It's the currency. Watch this. Here in the United States, you know, the dollar is the currency you need to use to do business. So if you want to go to, let's just say, Publix, our local grocery store, when you show up there and you go to the aisles and you get what you like and you put things down there at the cash register and then they ring up a total and say it's $45.32 and you start to cry. You start to boo-hoo. And you start to express to them the sincerity of how much you really want this and need this. Now, there may be some compassionate manager or cashier that would do something. But in most cases, they're going to look at you funny. Because you need the proper currency. And watch this, your tears is not it. Your sincerity, it's not it. The proper currency is that U.S. dollar. They got to have that. And you can take with you whatever you want. Faith is the currency needed to do business in the kingdom of God. Faith is. Everything that you need, God has already supplied. Everything that you would desire, God has already supplied. And think about it this way. If you're hungry, you go into Publix, everything that you need to satisfy your hunger is already there. But you can't just go in there and take it and walk out. That's called stealing. You get prosecuted for that. You got to make an exchange. And God says, everything that you need, everything you desire, it's already supplied for you. But you got to come and make the proper exchange. Don't bring me tears. I can take the tears, but there better be some faith mixed in there. Because that's the only thing now that accesses the grace of God. Faith is the currency needed to do business in the kingdom. Faith is the ability to believe God and act on what he has said despite contrary circumstances or situations. Come on now. Believe him and act. Let me emphasize that. Believe him and act. Because I got news for you. If you didn't act, you didn't believe. Believe him and then act on what he said, not how you feel, but what he said despite the contrary circumstances or situations or people. That's what faith winds up being. It's that ability. I believe God and I act on what he says despite what it looks like. That's why anytime somebody comes up to me and they share, it's just like it's a challenge with this, a challenge with that. My immediate response is, it is well. Come on, it's not going to be well. It is well right now. Come on, let's tap into this right now. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. That's what faith is for us. It's the ability to believe God and act on what he has said despite contrary circumstances or situations. And the last one I give you is this. Faith is an internal persuasion, conviction, and reliance held in God and his word that becomes your proof, evidence of ownership of something you cannot see. It's an internal persuasion. It's a conviction. It's watch this. It's that fortitude on the inside that says, I don't care what anyone else says. Watch this. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what my past has taught me. I don't care what's going on here. I believe God. And because I believe him, I act on it. despite what it looks like. But that starts with this internal persuasion, this conviction, and this reliance held in God's word. Listen, faith is something that is akin to God and God alone. You know, people talk about faith, you know, having, you know, faith in people or faith in things. That's not faith. Faith is something that's always tied to God. It's not faith unless it is tied to God. And God says here, I need you to have a reliance held in me. I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. Come on, we're going to live fully. Got to know how to overcome challenges. And they're going to come. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7, Message translation, it says it this way. I like it. It says, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Anybody ever had to deal with some aggravation before? It says, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. It's your faith, not the stuff. Come on now, it's your faith now. And when faith goes through fire, come on, trials, tribulations, persecutions, pressure, when it goes through those things, watch this, when it's really faith, it's just proven to be genuine on the other end. And listen. Let me just say it plainly this way. You need that fire to burn the dross and the other stuff off that doesn't need to be there. You need it. It refines so that you can come out as the pure gold that you are. Pure and genuine in faith. Peter addresses, you know, this phenomena here that your faith wind up being on trial. Now, the question we have to ask is, if you're on trial, your faith is on trial, how do you plead? How do you plead? Your faith on trial. Come on now, your faith on trial in your marriage. How do you plead? Faith on trial, you know, in your health, your finances, you know, with your children. How do you plead? How do you plead? Do you plead like what we were singing about earlier? We're victorious because Christ is victorious. Or do we plead, well, maybe it's the Lord's will? How do you plead? How do you plead? Because your plea makes a big difference. It makes a huge, you know, effort. Now, most people, most Christians in particular, but most people would say, hey, I plead in faith. I plead in faith. So I plead. I'm victorious in this situation. Dealing with X, Y, and Z, I declare we're victorious. It is well. Okay, well, that's good. That's a good plea. That's a good plea to have. By the way, you plead by your mouth, not in your head. You got to open up your mouth and declare your plea. You got to say it. I said you got to say it. Yeah. Yeah, you got to get it out of your mouth. But the issue here is we can make the plea of victory, but what do the witnesses, a part of the trial, say? Because the way the verdict is going to go, it's going to be based on the witnesses. Now the question here is this: what witnesses do you call to the stand? Now I got news for you. Don't take any offense to this, but don't call your mama. Come on, don't call your brother, don't call your sister, don't call your pastor. Those are not the witnesses that you need. See, the witness you have to have is God's word, spoken out of your mouth. That's the witness. Listen, a few weeks ago, you know, dealing with the whole thing, you know, tested positive, you know, for COVID-19, I wasn't shook by it. My declaration still, it is well. And then I start calling my witnesses. Come on, I got Isaiah 53, you know, verse 5 on the stand. Come on now. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I called the psalmist, you know, to the stand. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and who heals all my diseases. I don't care what I tested. These are my witnesses. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all destruction. These are my witnesses, praise God. These are my witnesses. Watch this. This is what I hold to despite what I feel. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 talks about how Jesus cast out demons and healed everyone that was there. And then verse 17, it goes on to say, it says, and he did this that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus fulfilled what Isaiah spoke. So now I lay claim to it. He took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. And then Peter has the audacity some decades later to look back at it and say, wait a minute, who him own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree? That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we were healed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were healed, then you are healed. And you will be healed tomorrow. Witnesses. Who are you calling to the stand? Who are you calling to the stand now? See, if we're going to overcome challenges, we're going to live a full life, you got to learn how to call the right witnesses to the stand. It's not enough just to make the plea, I'm victorious. It's not enough just simply to declare, yeah, it is well. Well, you're right, it is well, but what's the witnesses? What do the witnesses say? That's where we got to come back to. So if you want to overcome, live the full life that Almighty God has for you and I, make sure you are calling out the right witnesses. And listen, and this is why it's so important to be a student of God's word. Because you can call out something from the Bible that will mess up your plea. Did you hear what I just said? You can call out something from the Bible that will mess up your plea of victory. Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Oh, well. Okay, you're right. It's in the Bible. You just messed up your plea, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you have to be a good student of God's word. You got to study. That's why I certainly hope there's tons of inquiries about, hey, how can I get in on this education process this fall? So you can grow. Become a better student. Better student, you are, watch this, the better witnesses you're able to call to the stand when your faith is on trial. And all of us go through it. All of us go through it, praise God. You know, if you remember, in Mark chapter 5, we won't go over there just for time's sake because we'll get stuck there for a while. But there was this ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. His daughter was gravely, you know, ill. He comes to find Jesus because he heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus like, okay, I got to get to him. If I can get him to my daughter, this thing can turn around. And he comes, you know, to Jesus, and interesting, he makes, you know, this statement that if you come and you lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she shall live. This was Jairus' plea. If you come, lay your hands upon her, she'll be healed. That was his plea. Jesus said, all right, I'm coming. Let's go. I know Jairus got to be like, yeah. Then this woman with an issue of blood, dealing with her, you know, what, several years, numerous years. And she comes, she sneaks Jesus, doesn't ask him for anything, just simply comes, you know, declaring, if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. She was connected to something covenant here, see. And she does so, immediately, you know, the fountain, you know, of her blood was dried up. Immediately she's restored. And Jesus was like, whoa, somebody just touch me. And interesting, the disciples are kind of like, duh, Jesus, everybody around here touching you. He says, no, fellas, y'all don't understand. Somebody touch me like I touch others. See, there's a whole, you're right, there's a whole lot of people that touch me crying, begging, and pleading, but there's only one that touched me in faith. There's only one that touched me in faith. I know it. So then here you have the situation where the woman is pretty much kind of frozen. You know, Jesus is like, okay, you know, what's going on here? The woman begins to tell him the whole story. You know, she went back and told him everything. And Jesus makes this remarkable statement to her. Says, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. I mean, that's, for me, that's one of the most remarkable statements. He didn't say my power. He didn't say my anointing. He didn't say my grace. He didn't say because I'm the Messiah. He says, no, it was your faith that made you whole. You accessed something because you trusted what God had already done. You did it. Everybody else, they missed it. But you got it. Now, interesting, while all this is going on, Jairus is still sitting by like, Jesus, you remember my daughter? You remember my daughter? You dealing with this woman? I'd have had this woman snatched up out of here. Jesus, my daughter. Of course, individuals come from Jairus' camp and say, hey, look, don't trouble the master any longer because your daughter is dead. It's like, whoa. I love Jesus' response. It was like, I think one translation says, overhearing but ignoring. Come on now, you ever heard that stuff you wish you didn't hear? Come on, you dealing with something, you heard something you wish you didn't hear. Come on now, you dealing with pains in your side, and all of a sudden a commercial comes up and says, you know, one of the symptoms of X, Y, and Z are side pains. He's like, oh, Jesus, is that what I'm dealing with? Overhearing, but ignoring it. Yeah, I heard it, but ignore it. And Jesus told him, says, don't be afraid here. Just keep believing. Now, interesting enough, Jesus says, I'm still on the same mission. You wanted me to come to your house? I'm coming to your house. He goes. Watch this. Jesus completely now is not paying attention to the report. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be contrary reports. That doesn't change what God has done for you. Jesus goes ahead and presses his way, you know, in there. Takes just a few of his disciples. Can't take care of all of them because all of them not on the same level. That's just the reality of it. All of them weren't on the same level, you know. See, people try to always, you know, kind of bring like this fairness doctrine into the kingdom of God. That's not how the kingdom works. All of them weren't on the same level, so all of them couldn't go. They get there to the house. And everybody's crying. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's like, oh, Lord, she was so precious. Ah! I mean, all kind of stuff. And then Jesus said, oh, well, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And them same people that was crying, start laughing up a storm at Jesus. How do you do that? How do you do that? You're supposed to be so sincerely broken over her loss, and then all of a sudden someone shows up, and your emotions go to really ridiculing them in laughter. How do you do that? And then Jesus does something, and this is the point that I want to make sure that you get, because this is where your faith on trial and knowing how to plead and calling your witnesses are very key here. Jesus decides then to go into the house where the girl is dead. And all of those family members, all them people that were screaming, crying, whatever the case may be, said, y'all can't go in here. Y'all can't go in here. He completely limited the circle of who could go in. Because watch this, Jesus says, I can't, this is not a time, watch this, to make everybody feel good. This is a time now to bring to fruition the will of Almighty God. And that's for this young lady to be up alive and well. So the thing that you and I have to make sure we learn how to hold to is that when your faith is on trial, you may have to shrink your hangout group for a while. Can I just be, you know, transparent, you know, as, you know, just dealing with different symptoms where, you know, COVID, you know, it was concerned. I just didn't want to talk. I didn't want to talk to a lot of people. I didn't want to talk. Okay, gotta be honest. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't. The only one I want to talk to about is God. That's it. Because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you get mixed messages from people. I ain't need nothing mixed. I need the pure. Exactly what are you saying here, God? I need to call these witnesses, and I need to stay focused on these witnesses. And that's what Jesus recognized here. He said, everybody can't go here. Everybody who starts with you may not be able to end with you. It's just a reality you have to learn how to embrace. The people, watch this, that started with Jairus, they're just like, come on, you know, get the master so that your daughter can be healed. You know, come on, you know, we got to do this. We got to save her. Those same people, excuse me, left him as soon as facts of death were submitted in the trial. Those same people that were like, yes, Jairus got to save your daughter. As soon as the facts that she was dead were submitted, they were just like, well, that's it. Watch this. And this is what happens still today. We tried. That was their new plea now. We tried. They quit because of the facts. Ladies and gentlemen, you have some truth that will always overcome the facts if you hold to it. We tried. Listen, let me be clear, very clear with this. You never try in faith. Faith has no end to it. Faith will believe God to the grave, through the grave, and out of the grave. Faith has no end to it. So there is no trying. There is, well, we did it. Well, I guess it just doesn't work. No, that's not faith. Faith will go all the way through. All the way through. Despite what it looks like. And that's what you want to make sure that you're locking in on the inside of you. But you got to feed that by God's word. Got to feed it. God wants you and I to live a full life, but it requires that you and I make certain decisions. Number one, we got to make sure that we are fully committed, wholeheartedly, just like Joshua. Come on now, just like Caleb. And then we got to have a heart just like Jesus, where we harmonize everything in our lives. But then I'm telling you this, when you do that, pressure is going to come. Challenges are going to come. And you may be thinking, why am I dealing with this? Why me? It could be because you made a decision to believe God. And I want to encourage you, as tough as the challenge may be right now, do not stop believing God. Stay right in there. Find as many witnesses as you need to keep your faith afloat. Want to live a full life? Learn how to develop this fortitude that overcomes the challenges. Learn how to develop your faith. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven with me right here. Hallelujah. Father, my prayer is for everyone that is present, everyone that is listening, Daddy, that we'll have a commitment to live a full life before you, wholehearted, harmonizing all of our life around you and your purposes and your plan. Help us, Daddy, to develop this fortitude that overcomes the challenges, the trials, the tribulations that come. We know they're coming. We've dealt with them in the past. We may be dealing with them right now. We're sure to deal with some more in the future. But Father, we thank you that our faith is the victory. Thank you, Lord God, that even though our faith may be on trial in these moments, we recognize that we can continue to hold to you and come out on the other side pure and genuine, praise God. So help us, Lord God, to be great students of your word, better than we've ever been before, so that we understand clearly what it is you've declared and what it is you've promised and ordained for our lives right here and right now. And may we have a faith, Father, that never ends, that has no ending point, that believes you on into eternity. Let that be the type of faith that's developed in every family that's present. Come on, every married couple, every single, every student, every child, every baby. Let that be the faith, praise God, that's developed. And may we learn how to pass it on like a legacy, just like Timothy's grandmother and mother did in passing on faith to him. May we have that same heart and mindset for our children. We thank you for this, sir. We give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you give a loud hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah to you, Almighty God. We love you and bless your wonderful name. Now listen, if you're present with me, or maybe you're online, either or, all of this starts from a place of relationship with Almighty God. You cannot have faith in God without being in relationship with God. The starting point is saying, okay, I surrender to you. So if you've never done that, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Whether you're at home, you know, in your car, whether you're here in the auditorium, wherever you may be. If you've never done that, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. That's the starting point of faith right there, saying I surrender. Because listen, if you won't surrender to him as Lord and Savior, you're not going to surrender to him as healer or provider either. Starts as Lord and Savior first and foremost. So if that's you, you've never done that, while believers are praying, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Do something for me. If you desire my prayers for that invitation right there, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are, here in the auditorium or at home? Go ahead, you can lift it up. Yeah, I can't see you, but your Heavenly Father can. And you have an opportunity to, you know, identify yourself here in just a moment. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Come on, you can get this. You can get this. You can get this. I don't know. Stop thinking and learn how to just embrace. Yeah, embrace the one who loves you like nobody else. So if that's you, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. Here's what I want to do. Listen, everybody in the house and everybody at home, lift up two hands under heaven. Come on, lift them up like you're under arrest. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Say this out loud with me, Father. Come on, you got to say it out loud. Father, this is my plea. I love you, and I am grateful for your gift that you've given to me. Your son, Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my Lord, as my Savior, as my King. I turn my back on sin, and I embrace your plan for my life. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Come on, that's a good place to rejoice right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, indeed, for making us your own. Listen, for those of you that's online in particular, if you raised your hand and you connected with us in that prayer, do this for us. You know, right there in the chat, you'll see a link. If you don't see the link, just type the word decided, or you can text the word decided to the number that comes up on your screen, 954-280-2076. So we just want to know so we can celebrate and rejoice with you in all that God is doing in your life. And then also, we got a gift that we want to get to you. So when you text that word, we'll send you a link to a free devotional. It's a 7-day devotional called Fresh Start that'll help you get going so that you can walk out the victory that God has for you. If you're present and you would like to get a hold of one of those Fresh Start books, praise God, they're free to whoever would like one. So as you're exiting, just see one of our leaders. They'll be glad to place one into your hands. I'm declaring 2021 is a phenomenal supernatural year for you and your family. That doesn't mean it won't be without challenges, but your faith is the victory. It overcomes. Praise God. Amen. Don't lose sight of this. Lock in on this, and let's get ready to continue to go deeper with Almighty God. Absolutely love you. We declare God's best and blessing over your life, your family, for generations to come, in Jesus' name. Have a supernatural week. Come on, praise team.